Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rehabilitating Your Portfolio, a podcast about how to protect capital while still capturing the upside. And now, here's your host, Brett Rosenthal.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. And we are going to explore all aspects of rehabilitating your investment portfolio and continuing to increase your net worth while at the same time protecting your capital. This is a live trading desk, so you'll hear phones ring. Perhaps in the midst of this, I might have to take a break and execute some orders. But rest assured, I'll be back. This is an actively managed trading desk. Everything I share with you on this show are tools that we literally use day in and day out to manage our own private capital as well as that of our clients. So I'm going to share tools with you. When we bring on a new client and there is a rehabilitation process that's needed, we use these tools to help rehabilitate the process. And when I use the word rehabilitate investment portfolio, what we mean is we come across many investors who, particularly in the last 5 years, have underperformed the averages, in many cases have been frustrated with the performance of the advice of their investment professionals, because that advice has really been contrary to market direction. And so what we're trying to do to rehabilitate is, of course, grow net worth, but also instill in our investors a new understanding for how money needs to be run in the world we live in today, an understanding of why there is this underperformance versus the big indexes, and then how to use new tools to begin capturing the upside that the averages are offering, but still keep an eye on protecting capital. That's the big discussion that we all need to have. And today we're going to dedicate some time to understanding the best ways to protect your nest egg in a market like this. How do you protect a nest egg in a market that seems to constantly be going up, but with all of the underlying fears that are out there, whether they be geopolitical, whether they be central bank related, whether they be issues about how our government's being run, any of these types of things? You've got all these fears, and yet you have a market that's at, by anybody's determination from a valuation standpoint, at record high levels. So if you've missed the last 5 years of this rally and you constantly underperform, or let's say you've done well, but you're starting to get that itch, like, how do I hold on to this? I mean, I know a lot of people who did well right through 2007, and then, you know, at the end of 2008, all of those paper profits were erased, and they were in a massive hole. And so nobody who has a nest egg nearing retirement can suffer that type of decline. And so there's the rub. How do you still capture the upside that the market's offering, but have a plan to protect your capital? And that's what we're going to discuss today in the second half of the show. The first half of the show, as always, we're going to go over our algorithms and give us direction on how to put capital to work. So we start with our big indexes at the top of our pyramid, and we go to the S&P. We are still in cash on the S&P part of the portfolio. Let me be clear. You know, we may be long by the end of the day today. We may not. We're not always long just because the market's going up. There will be times where we're in cash on a intermediate term basis while the market goes higher for a couple days, a couple weeks. That's okay. We don't have to participate in every small wiggle higher in the market. If our algorithm tells us to remain in cash what it's saying is, statistically speaking, from a probability standpoint, even if the market goes up a little bit for a couple days, there's a high degree probability that we're going to revisit these prices or lower prices in the not too distant future, and therefore we stay in cash. So at the moment we're in cash. We'll see where we are at the end of the day today. Small caps, same scenario, although the small caps did touch the 200-day moving average a couple days ago, which is the only index down there. So you got 2,000 stocks that are small cap in nature that are highly affected by economic cycles in the U.S. and are least affected by central bank intervention. So usually a very good guide of where the real direction of the overall market is headed. Small caps are generally the canary in the proverbial coal mine, because there is not that institutional type support that you might see in Facebook or Apple or Amazon. You don't have that institutional false support. And so what you have is more real price action. And I think it's important to note here that small caps are basically break even on the whole year. So while it looks like the big averages are charging higher, and they are, the underlying market, 2,000 small cap names that does not have the institutional support, are flat on the year. So if you're flat on the year in your portfolio and you're not sure why, take a look at what you own in the portfolio. There are six stocks on the S&P 500, six stocks that account for roughly 50% of the market's move higher this year. Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and Microsoft. Affectionately called the FANG stocks. And now you have to add Microsoft to that because of its outperformance this year. That's six stocks that account for roughly half of the move in the S&P 500. Think about that for a minute. That's an infinitesimally small 0.12%, is that right? Or 1.2%? 1.2% of the S&P 500. 1.2% of the S&P 500 accounts for almost 50% of the S&P 500's move for the year. And we're going to get to that later in the show when it comes to protecting the nest egg and how to do it. You have to look for signs that tell you that there's definitely time to protect either profits that you've had or signs that will stop you from just knee-jerk, you know, running into the market because you've missed something of this year and you can't stand it anymore, so let's throw money at the market. When six stocks, 1.2% of the S&P 500, accounts for almost 50% of the move this year, you know there's something strange going on in the market. And then our algorithm, of course, we're out of the small cap index. We got out back in on the 27th of July, when small caps, IWM is the ETF of choice here, but they were trading at 142 and a quarter. We saw just a couple days ago we hit a low of, what's the low there, 135 and three quarters. Now we're back up to 138, but pretty big sell-off over the last month in small caps, and we're still in cash in that part of our portfolio. All right. Here's the big announcement. As of 3:30 yesterday, we're long the triple Qs again. Our strategy is long QQQ, and we used the weakness this morning, brought the triple Qs right down. The market opened higher and immediately sold off. So questions are, how do you buy weakness? Well, that sell-off took us right to the volume-weighted average price, the VWAP, of yesterday on the triple Qs, and we were buying that this morning. And now we're trading a lot higher. We were buying around 144 and change, you know, small change like 144.12. Now we're looking at 144.69.70s today. And so the buy signal from yesterday looks good. We're moving higher, and we're long that index. I will tell you, when we use these algorithms, generally speaking, the best algorithmic entry points occur when two or three, usually all three, of the indexes give us entry signals at the same time. When it starts to become a staggered entry signal, like we get a signal today, yesterday in the Qs, and then nothing today in the S&P and the small caps, and only the Qs are being recommended as a long position on our algorithms, that's generally not a good sign. Now, we still put money to work, okay, but we can determine how much money we put to work. That's how we use these algorithms in our portfolios, depending on somebody's risk tolerance. We use the algorithms outright, and we use the interplay of the algorithms to determine position sizing, how aggressive we want to be, how conservative. In my own personal portfolio, when I only have one of the top three indexes giving us an entry signal, I generally tread lightly. Okay? But we don't ignore it. We put money to work. And, of course, Treasuries, TLT is our other index that we're trading. Right now we're in cash on that index. A lot of whipsawing back and forth in the last couple of months, but no real progress there and nothing to report. So we're not long Treasuries either. So the only index of the four that we follow religiously and we use as the top of our pyramid and kind of drives all of our investment decisions is the triple Qs. So now let's get to the part of the conversation where we address how to protect a nest egg. There are some statistics I want to share with you that are fairly important. Number one, as already discussed, the small cap index is dramatically underperforming this year. That doesn't mean the top is in yet, but it does tell you that we are having a hollowing out of the market. And it tells you it makes it more and more difficult to outperform the averages because less and less stocks are driving the market higher. We found out that a very small percentage of the S&P 500 accounts for the majority, or half, maybe it's even more than half by now, of the market's performance for the year. That's a hollowing out of the market. These are not things that tell you a top is in. These are things that just tell you risk is elevated. Be advised. Be aware. So we're still putting capital to work today, but guess what? We're focusing on the index that has the highest exposure to those six stocks. And that's the NASDAQ 100. And that's where we're focusing our buying. How to protect a nest egg in a market like this? I'm going to share another piece of information with you that will put in perspective the market we're in at the moment. Today will be the 294th day in a row where the Dow Jones Industrial Average has not had at least a 5% correction. We have gone 294 days where the Dow Jones has not had at least a 5% correction. That is only the second time, or I should say, that is the second largest amount of time since these types of data points have been studied, going back to 1900. Following the Dow Jones started in 1900, there is only one other time where the market has gone up this steadily without a correction of at least 5%. Does anybody know what other time in our history experienced a grinding higher like this without at least a 5% correction? I'll give you a minute to think about it. And I bet some of you are saying, well, come on, I can't think back that far. It must be sometime in the 20s, maybe in the, well, it shouldn't be the 20s, right? Maybe the 20s. That was, you know, right up until 1929, that was a rip-roaring market. Maybe it's the 50s. Guess what? November 1994 to March of 1996, not that long ago. We had 333 days of a Dow advance without a 5% correction. But suffice it to say, we are long in the tooth of this market rally without a meaningful correction. And that is dangerous for protecting a nest egg, because it begins to lull you into the belief that the market will never go down again. And of course, we all know it's not true, but a steady rise without that kind of decline just eats away at your the logical part of your brain. And you start thinking, well, gee, now's the time to just put money into the market and close my eyes and buy it and hold it, right? Because Brett talks about how the central banks control markets, and central banks, you know, why would they ever let markets go down? They're just going to manipulate market. Could be the next 10 years of manipulation for all we know. So let's just put money in the market and buy and hold it. Okay, that's not what Brett's saying. What Brett says is we don't know what central banks are going to do next. We have to be on our toes. And we won't find out what they've done until after the market's had a 10 to 15 to 20% correction. And then we'll all look at the data and say, holy smokes, for some reason they stopped purchases, reduced purchases, or what have you. So in order to protect a nest egg, you got to do two things. If you've missed the rally in the last 5 years and you've underperformed, you can't try to make all of that back today. And God knows you don't want to do it in the 294th day of a market advance without any meaningful correction. Okay? Don't try to make up for the last 5 years in the next 3 months. Instead, build the right disciplines to protect your nest egg and begin exercising those disciplines correctly, and you'll begin to see your net worth grow. The second thing is, if you have been riding this rally over the last 5 years, recognize that you don't want to be in the same position you may have been in 2008. Don't forget that feeling. Just because the government saved us this time around doesn't mean they will the next time. Doesn't mean they'll be able to the next time. Okay? So you still have to use your brain to protect your capital, even after having a wonderful run like this. In fact, more so than ever. The tools that we use on our desk to protect nest egg are algorithms. Reason? One simple reason? Algorithms don't have emotions. Algorithms don't have the feeling, I've got to make up for the last 5 years. Algorithms don't have the feeling, I can just hold on forever because I've had a good run and buying and holding always works. Algorithms don't do that. They specifically, the probability and statistical algorithms we employ tell us when the window of opportunity is ideal for the potential reward versus risk, and when the risk is too high and it's time to protect capital. So I'll leave you with the thought today to protect your nest egg. Don't try to make up for past failures overnight and throw money at the market because it keeps walking up. Don't let the 294-day move lull you into a sense of security. Be aware. Use the correct stop losses. Use tools that will unemotionally tell you now's the time to raise cash. Don't give up ownership of your assets to the belief that you can buy and hold something and it always goes up. That's a wonderful myth. And it's very sad when I run into people who have this ashen look on their face, and they say to me, well, I was holding, I was buying and holding, and then, you know, I thought these stocks were great, and the bottom fell out of them. What do I do now? I want to retire in 3 years, and my portfolio is down 50%, 30%, 25%. I mean, who needs to go through that vicious swing lower? It's better to make decisions now before you run into that wall. Use the right disciplines now. That doesn't mean just go sell today because we're at the 294th day, but it does mean prepare yourself and have a discipline and know where your stops are so you don't give back all your hard work in the last 5 years. That's how you protect capital. That's how you manage to protect your nest egg. Hope you all have enjoyed this conversation, as I have. Let's get back to trading. We're having a real nice day. NASDAQ's making new highs, so our exposure there is working well. And we'll see what happens today around 3 to 4 o'clock hour. We'll see if we are getting long the S&P, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day trading and a good day investing.
To learn more about how to protect capital and still capture the upside, join us at rosenthalcapital.com. And for real-time updates about what our algorithms are saying, follow us on Twitter at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T-R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L.